Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to the show. This is a space built for growth. Every week we talk about development on the field, off the field, and between the ears. If you're a player, coach, or parent who wants clarity instead of noise, you're in the right place. Today's guest is someone who lives in that world every single day. I've got Mike Rice with me today, along with assistant coach for the Stars, Ryan Raddick. Mike is the vice president and GM of Detroit Prospects. He's also a scout with the USPBL. You've done coaching in the USPBL, high school coaching, associate scout with the Texas Rangers. You've kind of done a couple things in baseball. So really excited to get you in the studios today. You've even done some youth baseball stuff. So I'd say he's not really guessing when he's talking about stuff. He's been in it and he knows it. So Mike, appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to it.
Ryan, your morning going well? We've had some incredible weather in the capital city as of over, it feels like, a month at least.
Yeah, just another wonderful day in the studio.
All right, Mike, before we jump into baseball, let's talk about roots a little bit. Where are you from originally?
Metro Detroit area. Grew up in Roseville in the Fraser area, a little bit of St. Clair Shores, but all right in that area.
When did sports get introduced to you?
Probably when I was born.
Yeah.
Probably. I actually have a, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually have like a little doll or piggy bank or something. Okay. When I was born, my dad brought it into the, so literally when I was born, I guess it was entered. It was a football player, but it was sports all the way around.
So were you playing multiple sports at a young age?
I did basketball and baseball.
Okay.
Wanted to play football. Mom wouldn't let me play because of my size, but.
That's a fairly normal
wanted
story.
To, man. Really yeah. Wanted to.
Okay. Did you have anybody outside of, well, I'm sure it was family as well, but did you have anybody that kind of mentored you as you were somewhat younger?
I did. Actually, his name is Dick Tomczak. Okay. He was a neighbor of mine, got into baseball, coached a lot, helped me out a lot. And there's more to that that we'll probably talk about later that his name might come up, but great question. Yeah, I did.
So being a scout, a coach, a dad, what'd you learn on trying to be able to balance some of that stuff when you're in the thick of it?
I learned being a dad and a coach is well worth it now as the kids are older. My son's 21, my daughter's 24. It's funny, Coach Petro at Saginaw Valley has a young kid, and he asked me, do you think I should coach my kid? Mm-hmm. And I said, heck yeah. Like during the times when you're coaching them, it's terrible. It's tough. You're harder on him. I might have batted my son eighth a lot because it's my kid. He has the same last name. Coached my nephew, same thing. But now they're older and we're best friends and we relate to a lot. So that was my piece of advice as the old man in the room talking to Coach Petro. I was like, if you can do it, absolutely coach your kids. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, 100%. I think I can get in that lane as well. I was able to coach our son through Little League all the way through college. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't sunny and 75 at all times, and it wasn't the easiest thing, and you feel like you have extra eyes on you watching, you know, special treatments and 100%. Things like that. And a lot of times those coaches' kids actually have it harder because most of the really solid coaches probably are harder on their own kids than they are on the rest of the team. And now that he's out, and he's actually an assistant with us on our staff now that he's out and they look back on it, I'm like, yeah, like if you ever get a chance to do something like that, 100%. You know, it's well worth that kind of stuff. Do you think that, you know, going through some of that stuff has kind of changed your perspective now when it comes to scouting and teaching and stuff like that? Do you look at things a little bit differently being a family man and, you know, what you experienced with your son and your daughter and stuff like that?
I know I learned a lot. I learned a lot from my daughter, who's actually, she's, like I said, she's 24 years old. She played college soccer for 5 years at Saginaw Valley. And I learned a ton going through the recruiting process with her. I was a dad at that time, right? Just sitting in a chair, listening, trying to let her make her own decisions. But I learned a lot of the things I do today, I learned from my daughter in a girl sport in soccer with the college recruiting, believe it or not.
Ties into the USPBL. You coached there for a while. Now I think you scout there.
Yep.
And what's scouting really look like for the USPBL?
It's very interesting. So I wanted to coach. I love coaching. I love teaching. I actually stole a lot of things from all the kids that play there, right? Think about all those kids that come from different schools across the U.S. And my wife kind of said, all right, man, you got to stop this stuff. You're doing so many darn things. You're gone on the weekends coaching. And so, you know, we made a little deal internally that she's going to let me stay involved from the scouting side of the game. And it's different because you have scouts for MLB, right? You have those guys out there looking for those kids that they're going to draft and things like that. And it's just different. Like from a talent perspective, I want those guys throwing 96, 97, but they might get drafted, right? Or they might go somewhere. So we look at kids that can develop and maybe those kids that, I mean, again, having a daughter, boys take a long time to develop. So there are some gems from a scouting perspective that still might be 21, 20 years old that haven't even hit their growth spurt yet. So you have to be pretty strategic, I guess, for lack of a better term, when you're looking for the USPBL kid. And there's not a lot of money involved. So you're going to, if those kids are there to make money.
It's got to have some grit involved with it, for sure. You know, you talked about, you know, the late bloomers and stuff. And I think back to some of the stuff that I did in facilities and stuff like that, and I'm pushing it over to you. I mean, there's a fair amount of kids that I can remember that were, you know, 13, 14, maybe even 15 that they had, that they drew some eyes. But by the time they were 19, 20, they weren't.
Right.
You know, and there were kids that weren't drawing those eyes at those ages.
Oh, yeah.
And they get to 18, 19, 20, and all of a sudden it's like, boom.
I think it's even more that side, where the on the boys' side of things, where the, you have no idea what they're going to look. So your job is getting harder and harder every day because of that, right? You get them for 2 years, and they got to be ready to go.
It's a small window, and you got to come in here ready to go. But we also have a lot of grace, and in the systems we have in here, you know, we're expecting them to put on, you know, at least 15 to 17 pounds every season that they're here, you know, so they're getting bigger and stronger. Yep. And it's amazing at times because we'll start a fall season and you can tell the difference between a freshman and a sophomore. If you don't know any of the kids, you can just tell by the way they act, the way they carry themselves, things like that. And you might be able to say, well, this kid's probably not going to play a whole lot, you know, and then all of a sudden you get to this time of year where we're in the, you know, the spring season in January and February, and you're like, man, I mean, Ryan and I were just doing that the other day. We're like, this kid's grown a bunch, and then he points at somebody else, and this kid's grown a bunch, and this kid.
Amazing.
And it's, you really do have to have a lot of grace with that, but still keep the standards in place of what the expectations are, but have some grace. Like, you can see some huge movement.
Yeah.
With kids, and I'm sure you've seen that in facilities too, because you've got what, four buildings, and it's kind of a mix of pitching and hitting and different things going on. But you have age groups of fairly young kids that
we have 8 years old up to, we got the 22 year olds, right? The USPBL guys working out there and things like that, so it's pretty neat. Yeah,
how involved are the parents today versus, like, say, you know, 10 years ago? Do you think it's changed?
We do it a little differently. So every parent wants to be involved, right? You get a guy like Coach Cut that has a kid that comes to play, you probably wouldn't, right? You'd probably trust the process, right? Maybe talk about it at home. But every parent that has played a little bit or watched a game likes to get involved. But we encourage the parents to hang out with us at practice. We don't close doors when we train because we want them to see how we do it. So they do it right when they're at home. So it's a little, we do it a little different. It's probably from experience too. Again, back to my daughter's soccer, and I'll try to quit mentioning it, but same thing. I used to watch her practice. I'd sit in a chair and loved it because I didn't know anything about it, but I'd watch their drills and then go home and make sure she's doing them right. So we do that on the baseball side, but parents are still parents. They want the best for their kids. They all think they're going to Michigan.
Yeah. Let's talk about recruiting a little bit, because you did bring that up. And I think that you're recruiting in a lot of different ways, not only with scouting, but also with facilities and trying to help kids and give them feedback. And sometimes that feedback that you're giving them might not be 100% in line with what parents are thinking or other coaches are telling them. But it seems like a lot of times when you look back on it, there's a lot of recruiting mistakes. And it's not necessarily your fault or a coach's fault, but you start looking back and you're like, man, that wasn't a smart thing to do. And I think the longer you do it, you get a little more cerebral with stuff. Yeah. But the recruiting world today is so much different than it was 5 years ago. And I say five because we've been here for five seasons. And so I can relate really well to five. And it is unbelievable how much it's changed. And when I talk to parents and coaches and stuff like that, we talk about, one of the first things I talk about is like, the transfer portal has changed everything. And of course, when you think of change, a lot of people think it's change is a bad thing. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But have you seen how much it's changed? I know 100%. You have, but what changes have you seen?
One thing I will tell you, I know you're relating to the 5 years. I would say in the past 2 years, it's changed dramatically with roster sizes, right? Like I think the D1 roster size, it trickles down. Everyone talks about the trickle down side, but my baseball club is kind of geared towards that, and I mean this respectfully, like a D2, D3, like really good relationship, NAIA type of standard, and it's affecting us little guys. And I witnessed it firsthand last year for the first time with my nephew Trent, who was in the transfer portal. And I try to explain that to these parents, to the parents, that again, we kind of asked for this. That's the thing, is coaches could leave all the time, right? You and I were talking about coaches leaving earlier and parents back in the day, and I was one of them. Well, if that coach can leave, why can't my kid leave? And that's where we are now, and it's changed and it's accepted. 2 years ago, coach, when I sit down with somebody and saying they're going to Calvin University or going to Elma, it's like, you're going there for 4 years.
Right.
Like, and that makes us look bad. If I'm building a relationship with Coach Cutter and saying, this guy's going to be a program guy, and then he leaves the next year. It's just, it's changed, and it's kind of accepted. I think coaches have accepted it, right? Like, it's part of the game almost.
I think it's considered the norm today, and it's like what you said, it's accepted. I find, like, just being able to give kids the kind of state the fact, speak the truth for them, because they're maybe relying on information that was given to them by parents from, you know, 20 years ago, or what the process looked like, what the expectations are. I can speak from the junior college level really well. The amount of talent that is at the junior college level nationally is unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And when you think back just in that 5 years, what the talent levels look like at that point, and it's because of the trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
The high school's juniors and seniors aren't getting as much recruiting because of experience, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier to, I mean, you talked about your nephew, and he went in the portal and he was at Oakland, which is a mid-major, and then gets an opportunity to play at Michigan State. That's a great story, but they're not all great stories.
Right, right.
There's a lot of kids that don't get those opportunities.
Wrong reasons too.
Yeah. Right? Like, and I've kind of likened it to, like, you know, telling the wife, hey, I'm going to go try to see if there's any better offers out there. And then when, I guess there isn't. So then I come back, you know, that relationship is not going to work. And that's where coaches are at this point with people going in the portal. And then, I think I want to come back. You know,
that's tough.
That's really tough. Do you have a different lens you use for the scouting or recruiting piece when it comes to, like, professional baseball versus the college? Because I don't want to say amateur, because that kind of fits. But is there a different lens?
So I don't, and I have a lot of help. So Chris, who I work with, who works with the Rangers, who you know, I kind of just pick out what I like. I kind of look at the arm action, look at the demeanor, and I really think about the growth. And it's an easy job for me, because he'll tell me, go fly a kite, or, hey, that's interesting. If you ever hear Chris Colia say something's interesting, that means he kind of likes it. Mm-hmm. So I personally don't look at it any differently.
Yeah, I spoke to Sean Harrington today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so okay. He reached out about a couple people. Not a different lens, and I think that overall, whether they're in kindergarten or, you know, in pro ball, they're going to have a lot of the similar things. They're going to be able to stay in a straight line and, you know, follow some rules and you know, hold to the standards that they, you know, the organization has for them or the team or the structure. Do you feel like you have to do a lot of teaching at the younger levels on this kind of stuff with the trickle down effect, or do you not touch it?
A ton. Are you talking about like overall the ninth graders? Yeah. I meet with parents daily. After my real job ends, and I get, I'll sit down and talk with them. And as I get older, I'm much more blunt and straightforward. I'm polite, but you got to explain it because expectations are as they should be. You want the best for your kid, but there's not that many roster spots out there, and you have to wait. You got to wait.
Yeah, because of the portal, and yeah. You don't necessarily know who's leaving until right. The end of the season. You might have an idea. Well, right. Billy's having a great season. I don't know if he's going to stay or not, you know, and somebody else might be disgruntled, but they're still going to stick around because they like the program yeah. or whatever. And so you don't really know. And so everybody else.
That's a great point. I never thought of it that way, because the guy could have a great season and he might want to leave, or the guy could have a bad season. You're going to be like right yeah. in the middle of it's crazy. What a crazy time.
And it's probably a little tougher on the development end too, because like you're getting the maturity starting to kick in as they're sophomores and juniors and things like that. And you know, it's okay. You're doing better and now you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's an unbelievable time right now. And I know you're right in the middle of it, but
so as a high school coach, you got to experience some cool stuff, including coaching your son.
Yeah.
Was there, I want to talk about the cool stuff, but I want to talk about, was there any like real, was it challenging? I mean, you hit on a little bit, but coaching your son, was it challenging at points?
It was 100% challenging. It was well worth it. And right. You'll probably have a better phrase to use because you're good with the phrases mm, and the motivational side, but it was very hard. For one, my son was 5'1" as a freshman.
Okay.
And he was not going to play varsity, even at Little Cardinal Mooney Division IV High School. It was not ready. And you have a family life too, right? Like I'm at home and my wife, she likes her sports, doesn't necessarily know a lot about it. So you get that at home, and then, you know, you got to be super smart about it. So it was hard. I coached at one time, I had 3 Rices in mm-hmm. one game at Cardinal Mooney, which was really cool. I was super proud of it. And they all performed well, but it was hard, the perception of things. And luckily we were winning, so it worked out okay. But then there was some people that weren't happy with it, and there's mm-hmm. even more to just the family side of things, having yeah. the Detroit prospects too, because this kid plays for so and so club. And if you looked at my lineup, I only had 2 Detroit prospects in the state championship, 2 or 3 to be clear. But it was hard juggling. I hope I'm answering your question.
You
I'm kind
are
of going off on a tangent.
You are. Do you miss high school coaching at all?
I miss the practices. One thing I learned about high school baseball very quickly was you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like the second yes. Monday of March, who's yes. your best players? Go play them. When I first started coaching, I was like, hey, let's go over in the corner. Let's work on the rocker step on mm-hmm. infield, right? And you almost don't have time for it. So I guess I miss it, the training and the teaching part of it. But if I ever would go back, I would want more time with them in the preseason. It just doesn't exist.
And you guys had quite a bit of success there at Mooney. Was that kind of happening before you got there as well, and you just started stacking on top of that? Or was that a rebuild? You know, what'd that success look like?
I think it would be called a rebuild. When I first started there, I knew the basketball coach there, and I wanted to get into it. My job kind of started enabling me to get into baseball a little bit more, and I said, hey, I want to come help. And I was an assistant, and they ended up letting the coach go mid-year or something. I don't know what happened. Something weird happened. And they said, hey, you're going to be the head coach. I'm like, what? I've never been a head coach before. And so I kind of helped that finish out that year. And the next year we had tryouts, and there was like 6 kids at the tryout. One kid had on jeans, boots, and no hat. So I called the basketball coach. I said, give me some freaking athletes, and we'll figure this thing out. And one thing led to another. I'm going to say this. Hopefully it doesn't come out the wrong way. At the end of the day, the players play. So we started getting kids wanting to come to Cardinal Mooney and play baseball. So that's what happened is at that level in Division IV, you get 4 or 5 kids that really can play baseball, and you can put some things together if you can, you know, execute. So, yeah, it was a rebuild, and then players. We had good players. We had really good players.
Did you guys won districts, regionals?
Yeah, we did. We I don't know the numbers of them, mm-hmm. but my second year, we won district. Parkway Christian, I don't know if you remember, they won the state championship. I forget what year it was. And then, again, smaller school, they lost some players. We ended up winning districts. We had a kid named Nick Bastian who was just unbelievable at the Division IV high school. I mean, he pitched at Saginaw Valley State. Like, that's what kind of kids we were getting. And then I don't think I ever lost a district when I was there. And we won, I think, four regionals, went to a state championship in 2021. It was really neat. I'm getting chills talking about it. So I guess I do miss it now that I was kind of downplaying it. But really the relationships were the best part about it. Like, a lot of those kids that now are 22, 23 years old, and you see them out and about, and it's and they're buddies, right? And all these kids playing with, as well as I do.
That's what winning does, though. I mean, it has an effect that's different than if you're not having success, you know? So that's kind of what winning breeds, and those relationships seem to personify even more, X amounts, and you walk away with those memories, and like they're strong, powerful memories. Just like you said, you're getting some chills and stuff like that. And Ryan's been a part of some special teams as well, and you start realizing, man, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, my partner at Detroit Prospects, he and I played on the Detroit Hornets in 1993. Like, that's where these relationships come from. Is you're learning, and you'll realize, like, those are your best friends, the people you trust, and sports was a big part of it.
Do you ever go back to high school coaching?
Would I ever?
Yeah.
I'm helping out at De La Salle now.
I saw that.
I'm helping out with the infielders, with Coach Samini. And
is that a, like, you're there every day
kind of thing? No, when I can, I try my best to get there as much, like I told you. I mean, I have a regular, I'll call it 9-to-5 job, but I love, last year, my nephew, Mason Stempen, was an infielder there.
Okay.
And I wanted to be there for a senior year. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think I could do it. So, quick story. I know you probably have some questions. So, 2021, we made it to the state championship. That year, we were so focused. Like, it just, I don't remember half of the time there. I was telling him about this earlier. We went state championship, whatever it was, June 17th or something. We lost. June 18th, I looked at my wife in the kitchen. This is a true story. I said, hey, what are we doing this weekend? And we've been married for 25 years. She gave me this look. She's like, that's literally the first time you looked me in the eye in the past 3 weeks. And I can't go back to that. Like, because you get so into it, whether you realize it or not. And so there's a quick story. Sorry for interrupting the process there. But
no, I mean, that's powerful stuff, too. And, yeah, you do. You get into it. And I know, like, you experience it, too, because it wasn't that long ago we were talking about where, like, Ryan's in charge of vision training and some other stuff. And new process is kicking off as the spring season hits. And it's like I'm watching him, and he's going, like, from point A to point B to point C. And there's zero lag, this process, and man, time flies when it is. And then you try to look back and you're like,
it does fly.
But you talked about your wife. It sounds like she's been pretty understanding and supportive through that process. That's always one of the more important things for when you're involved in athletics. A lot of people will talk about, like, coaches' wives and things like that. And I think that's kind of a slight because whether you're an athletic director, think about, like, high school athletic directors, they're not working a normal 9-to-5. They're at sporting events, and sporting events aren't in the morning or at lunchtime. They're in the evenings, stuff like that. So it's just it's a different life, and you have to have a really supportive family. And that's very, very important to be able to do stuff that, we do in our world.
It's huge. I'm very thankful for it. She knows that that's a big part of our lives, the Rice family's life. I think our first date, I took her to Comerica Park because Derek Jeter was in town. Like, she can't even, I joke and say, I say our kids played D2 baseball because of her athletic. They were D1 pros. But we learned together, but I think, she knew that was like a passion of mine.
All right. I've got a few rapid fire questions for you. I'm going to start the first one out, and you don't have to answer it because I already know the answer. That you mentioned you had three Rice boys that you got to coach. And I know Danny Rice was the best athlete and kid that you've ever coached. So we don't even need to go there. But question for you, what was your team's travel ball record at EU?
I wonder who told you that. I think it was like 3-30. Is that the number you had?
I'm not sure. I know
we learned a lot.
It was a tough season.
It was. I mean, we could talk. Like, my brother is my best friend, 100%. Mm-hmm. He's my assistant coach, and he hates losing. Doesn't give a crap about development. Okay, like, we learned how to lead off. We had 8-year-olds working on sure doubles. Like, and I cared about that while we were losing to the Sterling Heights Yankees or something like that by 20 runs. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it. I can thank Daniel for that one.
Have you ever lost while playing pool in your basement?
Not too often. Not too often.
So quite the pool shark, huh?
I'm very standard. I don't do any tricks. I'm like the old man in golf that just kind of hits it straight
consistent.
Down the middle.
Just consistent. All right, this is going to be a tough one for you. Why did you leave after Trent's senior year and not wait for Danny to graduate?
Well, I'll answer this one with a pretty good answer. I'm very thankful for you and your culture at Lansing because I have noticed a significant change in Daniel when he comes home from school. So there's my answer. Okay.
I appreciate that.
We can take that for what it's worth. But, and I really mean that, we talked about that earlier outside, that I have seen a huge difference in Daniel, and that's what he needed to work on. And I'm not going to make this about ripping on the little runt of the family, but he's grown a ton, maturity, you know, from a maturity standpoint.
He has. We've seen it. We talk about it. And when we were talking about it the other day, I said something that made me think after I said it, like, that's a tough one. But the coaches were talking about how people, you know, kind of pointing around who had grown so much, and that it's not just visual. It's, you know, we've got a lot of numbers and stuff, processes, systems. And then I said, well, that's the expectation. And that's kind of hard, you know, because you're still pretty young. You're still trying to figure out stuff. You feel like you're swimming upstream at times because if you're a college athlete, you're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more busy than if you're just a student, you know, and it's tough at times. But yeah, Daniel's done well, and he's grown a lot. And, and that's kind of what we expect. I think like the quick hitters were special. Those were some special answers there. So,
well, good. You know, I will say one quick thing about Daniel, because I never say anything nice about him. He's had it tough, right? Like, you look at, again, my daughter, five years of Division II soccer, my son, Saginaw Valley baseball, his older brother, and he's the last one coming out. We've just been drilling the kid his whole life. And like I said, something has changed since he's come to Lansing. And I notice a huge difference. So, good for him.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming in, being on the show, and appreciate you being here too, Ryan. Winning fades, habits last. Excellence isn't a destination. It's who you become in the process. Thank you to everyone who continues to listen, share, and support this journey. We're all playing a game we can't win, so why not go all in and go Stars? Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.